Ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN underscore Chicago is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, this hour brought to you by Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge. Twin Peaks full-service bar features an extensive selection of drafts served at 29 degrees in ice-cold mugs. Head for Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, and scenic views. Thank you, Pat Boyle, Danny Zetterman, Chris Black, Jesse Rogers, Adam Schefter. And time for Crosstalk, which is brought to you by the fine people at the Chicago Wolves. We are hard-hitting. We are fearless. We are the Wolves. Get your fan four-packs, including four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, and a popcorn for one low price. Fan four-packs start at just $18 per ticket. Go to ChicagoWolves.com. We welcome Carmen and Yurko. Hello, boys.
Hello.
What's up, boys?
Good morning.
Buenos dias.
What up, guys?
Buenos tardes.
Tardes.
55 seconds into Buenos tardes.
That's right.
So, John, you were not happy with the UFC dollars that you spent the other night.
I didn't spend them at dollars. I was at a local pub watching. They had the broadcast and the telecast on. Yeah, no, I was not happy
at
all. That's fine. Thanks a lot, Carm.
Well, it's a text of me, you, and Danny.
Either way, I was not happy.
Well, how could anybody be happy?
Well, nobody was. The undercard fights were terrible, too.
Were they?
Give me number ones against number twos.
Yeah.
You know, give me a champion versus a contender.
How did Holly Holm do?
They've gone away. Boringest fight in the history of fights. She ended up winning the decision, three-rounder. Boring.
Give me a...
Nothing happened. I tell you, the best fight was the females that fought a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
The one girl looked like she blew her ACL out, dislocated a kneecap, and popped back into place. And she still went about the business of fighting. So she showed some tremendous grit and determination in that match to continue on. There was so much blood in that ring. In the ring. There's blood in the ring.
Give me Bruce Lee versus Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes,
I'll take that.
That's all you need.
That's all I need. I don't need to watch
that. That is all you need.
I'm glad I didn't miss anything on Saturday night. Give me NFL Championship Sunday.
I didn't get to see the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Did I hear that Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston are getting back together?
I don't think so.
No, there was a photo of the two of them.
He was stopping to admire
her speech.
He won, so they obviously put the camera on her, and she looked like she may have been a tad bit admirous.
Okay.
In a very staged event, they had him watching her, and then I think they met backstage for a minute.
That's what happened. He won his award. He was backstage, and he watched on the monitor, and of course, there's cameras everywhere, and there's these things, phones everywhere.
Right.
So they're taking footage of him just kind of standing there in front of the monitor watching what's happening.
I did cast my vote for Brad Pitt this year for supporting
actor. Well, you should.
It was a great movie.
But when I saw that, didn't I tell you Brad Pitt was going to win awards?
You did, and I voted, and you were right. The minute you said it, the minute I saw the movie, and I was glad he won. He deserved it. He was fantastic.
The Adam Sandler movie.
You got to be kidding
me.
Uncut Gems. Yeah. He won the Golden Globe. Did I hear that right?
I don't believe that's true.
I don't believe he won the Golden Globe. He wasn't nominated for an Academy Award.
He didn't get nominated for the Academy, but didn't he just win an award?
He hasn't won. I don't think so.
The critics didn't, I don't think, like it as much as the public did. I enjoyed that movie.
They said it was a little too manic.
I don't disagree with that completely.
How do you feel walking out of the theater? Is it a depressing movie?
I don't know if it's depressing. You feel it's the whole movie is shouting and in your face and violent. Chaotic.
It shows you the manic behavior of an individual that's addicted to gambling.
Right, that lives life on the edge.
And what it's all about and how many things he's willing to compromise just so he can go ahead and do what he wants
and
to
keep
do.
Gambling. Like, it does a good job of capturing that, but it is very chaotic. It is very in your face.
He'll screw over
everyone. It is very loud.
Friends, family, business associates, strangers on the street. It doesn't make a difference.
Right.
As long as he gets there. And then the interactions between him and Garnett are some of the best
Fabulous.
Things you can have.
But Garnett was terrific in the movie.
So he has a future. He wants to.
I don't know. I mean, he played himself. Right. I don't know that he could play Gandhi. I mean, you know, I don't know if he could be Ben Kingsley.
A little bit of stretch there.
Gandhi. Yeah, well, it's okay. We could suspend disbelief for a minute. he was brilliant. As himself. I mean, he was really good. He was really into the role. I mean, you felt it. And Yerk's right. Some of the scenes between he and Garnett, Sandler and Garnett, were terrific. But I think we all liked that movie maybe a little bit more than the critics, right. And it got shut out.
About sports, yeah. And about, yeah, this and about that, so there might be a little bit more love that we'll have for it.
I think so.
Than the actors and, yes, the directors of the world.
The actors.
So what did you guys think of Championship Sunday?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was going to be chalky last week. I predicted it would be chalky.
It was.
I went double under. It was double over, so I'd go 2-2 if we had an accountability Monday for myself.
Okay. Yeah.
But I did say I think both of them are going to win. Both of them are going to stretch their legs, and they're both going to end up covering. They both ended up covering. So congratulations go out to those two.
I thought that the Packers were going to cover. I did pick the Niners and the Chiefs to both win, but I did think the Packers would cover. I was wrong on that, and that hurts.
The back door opened there for a little while.
Yeah, I never felt
like it.
I had it at 8, actually.
Okay, so when it got to 14...
No, I never for one second thought that Green Bay was going to be anywhere close in that. I really didn't.
But it got to 14.
I mean, even after the Adams catch and they scored, yeah, and then it was 14, I was never, like, up off the edge of my seat going, okay, there's a chance here.
Just stop and score.
I'm just telling you. They had no business even being that close. They really didn't. They got so badly pummeled and outplayed. And outcoached, it wasn't even funny.
Feel Rodgers
for backing the Packers? By the way, because I've been saying all year, much of the dismay of the Packer fans, they're really not that good.
No,
I mean they aren't.
Yeah,
that was the softest 13-3 team I've seen. Oh, the Cardinals, they were 8-1 against
you. Drill him, you kill me for saying
they
that.
They weren't any good.
You were saying the window closing. I'm saying the window is just being propped open.
But I also have said all year, I don't think they're that good a team.
I don't think they were that good. I really don't. I thought Rodgers would be good. I thought that Rodgers had never lost a spread where he was getting that many points, and I figured he'll just do it on his own.
That's where the stats come back to bite you.
They got pummeled. They got absolutely
steamrolled.
Well, guys, that's not the defense. I mean, the offense's fault. That's the defense's fault.
You take a look
at that defense. The defense is the one that carried him to the distance they were. And you are what your record says you are. Whether it was the softest 13-3 team in the world or not, it's still a 13-3 team that was very flawed.
Very flawed.
Very flawed.
You're right. Shame on me for backing that.
Devontae Adams was the one legitimate receiver they had. Everybody else is just kind of there. They catch passes because somebody has to catch passes if it's not going to be Devontae Adams. They ran the ball better. You said their offensive line is old. They've got one backup that's 32. Balaga's 30 going into next season. You got a bunch of your guys that are still in the prime at 28 and younger than there. So, but their offensive line, it needs to improve.
It does. Yes. I would agree.
You know, Bakhtiari's your only legitimate player.
And he's getting
Lindsey at center is, better than average, but you still need more improvement on that offensive line. But their defense wasn't good enough.
It wasn't good enough.
And as far as Jimmy G goes, 23-5 as a starter. 2-0 in the playoffs of those 23.
Throwing only 27 passes in two playoff games.
Sometimes you're the driver of the bus, and other times you're the passenger on the bus. When you're the passenger on the bus, you shut your mouth and you just do what the coach wants you to do. In this situation, the coach says, we've got an advantage running the ball. Let's run the ball. Now, the only question that needs to be asked, if put into a pressure situation where Jimmy G had to carry the team, could he carry the team? The answer there would be a simple absolutely. Absolutely.
Let me ask you this question.
Now, he's not Mahomes.
No.
But guess what? Not. Nobody's Mahomes.
No. Right, exactly.
Mahomes is on his level.
Yeah.
And as a young quarterback in this league, he's on his level. He separated himself. Lamar Jackson is on a level. Not as good as Mahomes, but he's on a level also. So
I asked this question. Maybe you could give us an answer. How, in a league where the quarterback is everything, that he's still sitting on the board at 10, and I get there were certain teams that didn't need a quarterback, but there were plenty in that first 10, from the Buffaloes to the Clevelands
to the Bears
to the Jets to the Bears to
the
Ryan
answer
Pace
to the question is evaluating the quarterbacks in the NFL hard. Is not that easy. That's the answer.
Right. I think that's exactly right. It just goes to show you how hard it is.
Not only going into that draft, I said no, none of the quarterbacks were first round.
Correct.
Right.
That was the whole narrative.
That was right.
But because teams overvalue quarterbacks, or there's an overdrafting of quarterbacks, there have been years where no quarterback has been taken in the first round.
Rare, but there's been a couple.
There's been years because they don't grade out to be first round choices. And you've got to be able to stay disciplined, but teams are willing to overpay because they've seen what Brady's done over the course of his years. And then you look at that, and even though he's had people around him that help him be successful, everybody attributes it to Brady and Belichick, Brady and Belichick. But they've had talent there. And because they've had talent there, they've been able to win. When they don't have it there, they don't go all the way, and they don't win championships.
On the heels of Garoppolo only throwing the football eight times yesterday.
You went an hour and a half without throwing the football. You
Real time, hour and a half.
Crazy. That's great.
Would Matt Nagy have the discipline?
That was your best question.
Would he have the discipline to have whoever the quarterback is, let's say Mitch, whatever, only throw the ball eight times if that's what it took to win a game? Do you think he could do that?
No, and I'm going to tell you why. Shanahan's been through some hard, hard lessons in his life. And because he's been through those hard, hard lessons, it's easier for him to make smart decisions
like
now.
The Super Bowl against the Patriots.
You don't think Matt has?
Yes. Who, Matt?
The playoff game with Kansas City this whole year?
I don't think he's had enough. No. I don't think he's had enough pain to figure out what he should or what he should not do. Plus, I think he's a little bit enamored with himself still. You've got to let that go. A little bit of humility.
By the way, they did. There was a good feature this weekend. So Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, was a part of the Central Michigan staff in 2004. Matt LaFleur was a coach there as well. Brian Kelly was the head coach. Butch Jones was the running back coach. Geez. They went 4-7 overall, 3-5 in the league with that coaching
That's
staff.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, you still need talent, guys.
Yes, you do.
You still need talent. That's amazing, it's like those guys that create the robots and they go out there and they got to beat the crap out of each other.
Battle bots?
Yeah, battle bots. You know, you still the robot still has to be superior.
Yeah.
Okay, so the players you have to be the ones. You can have all the greatest minds in the world. If you ain't, you don't have it. Carm, if you don't have the best ingredients of the world, you can't make that souffle that you want
to
make,
it's
right?
It's hard to cook well if you don't have good ingredients. That's true. Yerk's right.
Raheem Mostert supported the Carmen Yurko theory that find running backs.
You're welcome.
That's his seventh team.
He was on
first team he ever ran a ball for. He never had a carry for the other six.
Yeah, he played
and
in two
he did
games.
Something, he did something yesterday that only one other player in the history of the National Football League has done more, and that's Eric Dickerson.
And like he
had an epic day.
Epic.
Yes. And congratulations.
And it's just the point that we always drive up. I mean, we're not going to tell you that Raheem Mostert is the next great running back either. We would never say that.
No.
And when it comes time to pay Raheem Mostert, you know what the Niners should do? Say, bye.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Go find the next one.
Appreciate
you. Go to Chicago where they're going to overpay you.
I don't know when people are going to get it. He was on six teams between 2015 and 2016. Six.
Including the Bears.
Two games where he was active with the Chicago Bears. Now, I'm not saying the Bears screwed up by not keeping him. I don't mean, and I tweeted about this last night. I'm not insinuating that. You can find running backs literally everywhere.
A guy at the local pub pointed out to me, every point scored by Frisco was scored by a former Bear.
Oh, God. Yeah,
that's true.
It's true, because Robbie and Mostert,
every point scored in that first
game. How about Robbie hitting a 53-yarder? I was impressed with that.
Now, that doesn't matter, the fact that they were all done by ex-Bears.
That's just funny.
And Robbie Gold leaving, even he'll tell you, helped restart or rekindle the fire of his own career.
Right.
Because at that point, he had become a tad bit stagnant. So, and there's another team that let him go, too.
The Giants.
Giants said, hey, you can go too.
So. All right, we've got a break. The Carmen and Yurko show is coming up next.
See you, boys.
We will see y'all tomorrow at 9 a.m. PB. Hawks. Have a good day. Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
You remember way back in September when the Bears and the Packers opened the season, the Bears scored three measly points, and Aaron Rodgers in the postgame said, we finally have a defense. Not really.
Well, not yesterday, that's for sure.
Not yesterday you didn't.
It's
just that the Bears happened to stink in 2019 on offense. That was really it, Aaron. Sorry. The Packers go home, even though I had the Packers with the points, and it was one of my best plays on the odds couple. shame on me because I've been poo-pooing the Packers all year. I get a taste of my own medicine. I apologize for giving out bad advice to everybody on Friday night. Mike North was on that play with me. We do apologize greatly.
Wow.
I'm glad that the Packers have been sent home. Yes, I'm a bitter Bears fan, of course. Deal with it. Sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I'm glad it's not the Packers. And they looked terrible yesterday. And they were never really in that game. And even getting 7.5, 8 points when they cut it to 14, I never once thought, they're right there. They're right there. Because they spent their entire day getting trucked up and down the field in Santa Clara by a much superior San Francisco 49ers.
The city of Chicago should at least be happy that the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers is from suburban Chicago.
Correct. From Mount Prospect. Mount Prospect's very owner is at Arlington Heights. Which one's he from here?
Arlington Heights.
It's all the same within the general
neighborhood. It's like saying Calumet City, Dalton, and South Holland.
Listen, if you say Naperville and Lyle, I wouldn't be that upset.
They're all right next to each other.
Thank you very much. I'm happy for Jimmy G, the very handsome one.
Good-looking kid.
And who was it that was walking around with the picture?
That was his tight end.
Was that Kittle?
Kittle,
walking around with a picture of Jimmy G on his shirt with no shirt on.
Yes.
Great irony there, I think, in some way. Yeah, I'm happy for Jimmy G.
That's right.
I'm very happy for Andy Reid.
Yes.
My rooting interest now is for Andy Reid because he's been great to this show for 20 years, and he's always been great to us, and he and Yurko go all the way back to the early 90s. When he was a young offensive coach in Green Bay and Yurko was a young defensive player in Green Bay. So I'm cheering for the Chiefs. That's who I want to win. Are you a little torn? I mean, you love Andy, but Jimmy G's your Eastern Illinois guy.
Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool.
What are you gonna do?
I'm going to enjoy a great game and hope that one of my squares hits and I end up collecting a lot of cash. That's what I am really hoping for. I hope it's competitive. I hope it's back and forth. I hope it's an epic Super Bowl that we'll be talking about for the next 3 months, just kind of teasing ourselves as we head into next year.
What?
Heading into the draft, really. I'm hoping the game really carries us into the draft.
Although they don't have a first-round pick, and that's always a little bit disappointing when your team doesn't have a first-round pick, you know.
But the draft itself is still
a spectacle. You're a football guy. You love the draft. That's true.
What? I love the draft because I didn't get drafted.
Right.
So I like to see the kids that get drafted and the ones that do make it, like from the later round, sixth, seventh round. I cheer for the kids that get drafted later, and for the kids that don't get drafted at all.
Yeah.
And then when I see the top guys fail, I just kind of laugh a little bit and snicker.
What hurts more, Yurk, that the Bears didn't get Jimmy G or that they didn't draft Patrick Mahomes? Which one of those hurts more?
The problem is there's a possibility for both. And you failed on both levels.
That's why I'm asking. You know, some people are...
I would say that, for me, Patrick Mahomes is the better quarterback. So not getting Patrick Mahomes...
The counter to that would be what a lot of people tell me, what I see on Twitter a lot, what a lot of fans say is that, well, let's be honest. And I was just having this argument with our buddy Jeff Blanzy at NBC5 last week. Yeah. I was over there seeing Siafa Lewis and Jeff Blanzy, and he said, well, nobody was ever going to draft Mahomes third overall. And why? I guess I get it. 6 weeks or 8 weeks before the draft, none of those quarterbacks were going to go in the first round. Then all of a sudden, three of them go in the top 12 because, as Yurko explained, the quarterback's so important and teams feel like they have to get one. So we went from nobody's going to be in the first round to maybe actually four. Did Kaiser go in the first round too?
He may have.
Or did he go in the second round?
Second round for Deshaun.
Wherever he went. So like all of a sudden, no quarterback's going to go in round one, and then three go in the first 12 picks, and the Bears take Trubisky. Second overall, they move up to do it. And I hear that, well, it was never realistic that they were going to get Mahomes because he wouldn't have gone that high. So if you believe that, does that make getting Jimmy G, like the bigger miss? And I'm wondering, like, which is the one that hurts more for Bears fans as they watch those games yesterday, as they get ready to watch Super Bowl 54? Which one hurts more, that they couldn't go out and find a way to swing a deal with New England for Jimmy G, or that they weren't smart enough to know that Mahomes was going to be this epic, franchise-changing, potentially all-time great quarterback who already in his second full year as a starter is in the Super Bowl? 312-332-3776 is the number. Hit us up on Twitter. Yurko's at Yurko64. That's Yurko with the J and the number 64. I'm at Carmen DeFalco.
If you get Jimmy G, then you're not even talking about anything else.
Well, of course.
So you've got to support him also. Now, Jimmy G, when he was coming out, remember, there was always question marks, where did he play? What was the level of competition he was at? He was dominant at Eastern Illinois University. Dominant.
Yeah, he was.
50-plus touchdown. Yardage coming out of his ears. If he was playing Division I, you'd say he was Joe Burrow. That's how dominant he was at college.
He lit that league on fire those last 2 years, right?
Questions, yes. Questions. He goes to play in the All-Star game. He plays in the All-Star game with Division I talent, and all of a sudden he lights it up there and is the MVP. He's the player that emerges from that All-Star game. And there's questions, and he got the combine, there's questions. Always questions is why he sticks to the second round. And the New England Patriots end up getting him.
In the second round, what, 60th pick overall, yes. Something like that?
Yes.
Back end of the second round.
Yes, yes.
With Tom Brady as their quarterback, Bill Belichick drafts Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's a benefit to be the backup quarterback there. No gray area. He learns. He develops. He sees what Belichick is thinking when he looks there, what McDaniels is thinking, everybody. He gets to see it in first-hand information coming back at him. Any questions you have, you ask. They answer them to you. Brady answered to you. What are you doing? What are you looking for? Why are you doing it? That type of thing. Listen, you could have traded for him.
You didn't draft him, but you could have traded for him.
And you wouldn't have had to have paid him for 4 years either. Would that development have been there? Who knows? Who would have developed him? Would that same development have happened?
Would John Fox have been able to develop him?
The point was, though, that quick release that he has, and he does have a quick one.
Mm-hmm.
And of the six passes he completed, there were some pretty nice balls coming out of there. I thought he hurt his knee. I thought he blew out his knee yesterday. But San Francisco's running game takes over. Kyle Shanahan says, why risk anything? Why drop him back? Why have him face a pass rush? Let's just hand the ball off and make him stop us when they can't stop you.
When you're getting 6 yards a carry, boom. I mean, you know, why wouldn't you? They had no answers.
You asked me how do you stop Derrick Henry last week. How do you stop Derrick Henry? 19 rushes, 69 yards. They had a lot of positive rushes.
They did.
In that game where he gained 10, 12 yards. But what I tell you, you got to make a guy like that too, the big guy like that. What do you have
you
to
gotta
make him
go sideline to sideline?
Got to make him go
right?
A little side. You got to make him stutter.
Stutter, yeah.
You make him stutter, you give yourself a chance to go ahead and attack. Take a chance to beat them. And they did. They got him. They slowed him down. They took a lead. Once they took a lead, they felt like they had to throw the ball. And guess what Ryan Tannehill's not going to do? He's not going to kill you throwing the
Probably
ball.
Probably not.
No. Now he's capable quarterback.
Yeah, and you knew if they were going to get in that kind of game, they weren't going to be able to keep up.
You remember, and that's what people don't understand. You remember, and we're going to take phone calls here next. You remember when guys make the league, they're there at 80% already. That's their bottom floor. They're at 80%. Okay, the great ones like Brady go up to 100, 101. Mahomes comes up there to 100. You know those guys. Tannehill can operate a 90% efficiency rating just on my personal scale. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's a difference maker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tannehill is a good quarterback, can play in the NFL, but is not a difference maker.
312-332-3776 for Carmen and Yurko. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Carmen and Yurko and follow the radio station as well at ESPN_Chicago on the gram. This is Ryan in Franklin Park. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys, I got to be honest. The question in general, which one makes you feel worse, it kind of gets you tongue-tied because if you think about it, the GM of the Niners is the one that swindled Ryan Pace out of three extra draft picks to move up to take Mitchell Trubisky when you could have had Pat Mahomes. It's almost like you look at the Niners and think Shanahan and Lynch are like the successful versions of Pace and Nagy. But honestly, I say Mahomes, but then I think about it, and then I say Garoppolo because you think about that. And then you say Garoppolo, and then you look at just Mahomes' games, and you think Mahomes. Honestly, you just want to cry either way. It's so awful.
Sorry to make you all depressed, Ryan.
Tears in my eyes.
Patrick Mahomes has now played in 4 playoff games, Yurko. I mean, this guy's been a starter for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
He's been an MVP. He took Brady and Belichick to overtime. He never got to touch the ball in the AFC title game in his first year as a starter. Now he's in the Super Bowl. I mean, like what he's already accomplished in 2 years as a starter. In 4 career playoff games, he has 11 touchdown passes to 0 interceptions, 2 rushing touchdowns, nearly 8.5 yards per attempt, and a quarterback rating of 115. It's sickening. And
that's exceptional.
It's beyond exceptional. And if you believe, he would have never gone 3, if the Bears could have identified that he was the one to take, you get out of 3. You go down. You get extra draft pick. I mean, like, there's a way to do it where we're not having the conversation, what could have been, what if. It's going to be hard, it looks like, for the foreseeable future to get over the fact that when they were desperate for a quarterback, an all-time great, went off the board 8 picks after their guy. Again, not 80 picks after. Not 120 picks after.
8
picks after. Go ask the teams from 1984, you know, and there were a lot of good quarterbacks. I mean, Jim Kelly's a Hall of Famer. Go ask
Marino's a Hall of Famer.
And that's what I mean. Marino went at the back of the, he was the last pick, I believe, in the first round. Go ask the teams. Who were some of the quarterbacks? Blackledge, right? Wasn't Todd Blackledge in there?
Todd Blackledge was in there. Eason was in there.
Tony Eason. Go ask those teams what it was like in the 80s, if it was easy. I promise you the GMs didn't sit around thinking, man, no big deal. I was never going to draft him as high as I was picking. No, they probably went, God, Marino's good. What the
Elway. Elway, by the way.
You don't mind. Okay, of course, Elway's great. Jim Kelly was great. But there were some quarterbacks in there. And the teams drafted the bad ones, and you go, God, why didn't I 15th see pick. This coming?
The Patriots took Tony Eason with that pick.
You think they would have liked Marino?
Marino went with the 27th pick, the second to last pick, Darryl Green.
Oh, God, Darryl, another Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
How about that? That draft is all-time great. I mean, Jimbo Covert was in the first round of that draft.
Seven Hall of Famers in the first round out of 28 picks.
I mean, that's insane. That's a quarter of the draft picks, Yurko.
An additional... Eight Pro Bowlers.
A quarter of the draft picks in the first round made the Hall of Fame. Like, yes. That 84 draft was epic. And the teams that didn't pick Dan Marino were going, man, you know, and so it's not that easy to get over. We'll take more of your phone calls when we come back. 312-332-3776. Jimmy G and Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 54 in Miami. The Bears were supposed to be there at the start of the year. They didn't even make the playoffs. Which one hurts more? Which miss? 312-332-3776.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
And now we wait, Yurko, 2 weeks, well, nearly 2 weeks, for Super Bowl 54, the Chiefs and the Niners. This game's going to be right around a pick-em point, maybe a point and a half. I don't think that it's going to move too much. I'm not shocked that the Chiefs open up as the favorites. I don't think Vegas wanted to install the Niners as a favorite and then have all the public money come swarming in on Mahomes. And then Mahomes and the Chiefs are sexier. That's where the public's going to go, right? They're going to go with the sexier pick, the Mahomes pick, the reigning MVP of the league, and all that stuff. So it's going to be tight, though. 53.5 is the total. You're looking at a Chiefs 1-point spread, pretty juiced up from what I saw, minus 115 in some places, even 120 when it first opened yesterday. So the Chiefs, the pick in Vegas for right now, is a small favorite for Super Bowl 54.
And obviously everybody's going to wait. All the sharp guys, if they didn't like the number to begin with, will wait to see what direction it goes. And then they'll go ahead and they'll capitalize upon what they think is going to happen
and what
they think is not going to happen.
You know what they say, the waiting's the hardest part,
Whose
right?
defense do you think is better?
I think San Francisco's is a lot better.
Because what they have up front?
I do. I think that they're good in almost every facet. You know, the one thing, the interesting part of this matchup is going to be, can the Chiefs do anything to stop San Francisco's rushing attack right now? And they did a pretty good job against Derrick Henry yesterday, but in the regular season, the Chiefs were 26th in the NFL on defense in stopping the run. And what did the Niners do? Pretty much better than anybody. I mean, the only team that ran the ball better in the regular season was Baltimore. And look at the way they've run it in this postseason. I mean, they have like nearly 500 rushing yards in two playoff games, Yurk. So I think San Francisco's defense is the more dominant, the more complete. I do.
Who do you think has faced the tougher test in the playoffs so far?
I think the Chiefs have faced the tougher test.
Tougher
in the playoffs
Tennessee, and
so
the first
far.
Team they played was tougher.
It was Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had a rally in both of them. I think that's slightly tougher, don't you?
Doesn't that worry you that they got behind quickly like that and they had to rally?
Might not be able to do that against San Fran, although it looks like they can score with anybody.
Well, and let's face it, I said they can get to the quarterback with the front four. San Francisco can get to the quarterback with the front four. They blitzed a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
They brought pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they were bringing it. And the two interceptions, the one forced fumble that they ended up recovering. Yep. I mean, they were coming after Aaron Rodgers. They did not want to make him comfortable. Devontae Adams had his game, but nobody else did.
Devontae Adams had a lot of that late, too. I mean, he had the big 60-yarder when he got behind Richard Sherman.
It didn't matter.
At that point, it was like you just felt like it was already out of reach.
Yeah, they put points on when it didn't matter. What was it, 34-7 at one point?
They ran roughshod all over him.
To me, I look at it right now from the outside looking in, I'd say San Francisco, to me, has the advantage. I thought San Francisco was going to be the 2-point favorite. I had 54 as the over-under. I said it last night.
You're right there.
But I had San Francisco as the favorite.
Yeah, you knew Vegas wasn't going to do that.
I'm taking the points. See, I'd be betting early and taking Frisco right off the jump.
Mike's on the south side of Norland Park on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I got a huge nugget for you guys. The 49ers got to thank the Chicago Bears because all the points at halftime came from the former Chicago Bears. Giving you a little nugget.
Yeah, we had that. Yeah. We said that earlier. We said that during crosstalk.
Thank you, Mike. Don't worry about that. We appreciate that.
Mostert in gold. Yeah, people forget Raheem Mostert was briefly a Bear in 2000, I want to say 15, but...
I think he played in games in 2016.
Maybe it was 2016, Danny. You're right. Early in the year, I think he was active for two games. He didn't touch the ball. I don't think he had a carry as a Bear, but he was up and active for a couple of games. Matt's in Edgebrook on ESPN 1000. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. There's lots of problems with the GM. We know that. I like his drafting outside of the first round. He misses because he's going for guys with potential. He's not drafting people that are going to help the team now, and here we are with a team that's ready to win, and all his draft picks are still waiting in the wings. I'll listen to your response off air.
The early picks have been bad, Matt. Let's face it. Kevin White, unfortunately, just never worked out. He was a bust because of health. Mitch doesn't look like a second overall pick that you trade up for. Leonard Floyd.
Serviceable.
He's serviceable. He's okay, but he's a guy, right?
He's not a pass rusher coming off the corner. Matter of fact, you realize he wasn't a pass rusher, and you had to affect future drafts by going ahead and trading for Khalil Mack.
You know, you drafted Adam Shaheen early, and look at the way that's blown up in your face. Roquan was a good pick. Roquan's a very good player. He's terrific.
Yep.
But, yeah, the early picks, not good. Let's go to Albert at O'Hare on ESPN 1000. What's up, Albert?
Hello, my friend. How you doing?
Great. Yoko. How are you, buddy?
Yoko, how you doing?
Good.
I need to apologize to you. I didn't play your game for Tennessee, man.
You didn't what?
I didn't play the spread you gave for the Tennessee side. Yeah, thank you for that. That was a good one.
Listen to Yurko next
That's
time.
That's right.
Yeah, but I just want to say this, though. You know, we drafted a high school quarterback for a pro team. How can you, as a general manager, draft a high school quarterback to lead your team to a Super Bowl? You know, it's a win-now game. It's not a future game. I mean, that guy is just crazy, man.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Albert is disgruntled with the fact that he took a high school quarterback to play in the NFL.
Albert, you crack me up.
Yeah, yes. That is funny.
Well, in fairness, he's a little bit better than a high school quarterback.
He is.
Yeah. At one time, he was a high school quarterback. Let's say hi to Sean and Mattson. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
What's happening?
Oh, man, nothing. I was just calling because you guys were talking about the difference between getting Garoppolo and getting Mahomes. If you would have gotten Garoppolo that year, you would have had to give up more than just that second to get him in the offseason.
Right.
Otherwise, you had to go.
Probably.
Right. That's why we're saying we would have given up that third pick in the first round.
What?
Yeah.
Not for Garoppolo. Not for Garoppolo at that time. I think I want to say New England wanted a first and a second for him, but then they wound up fire-selling him at the trade deadline.
Right, right. I agree with you.
Right.
Yes.
And then when you get Garoppolo, you have to pay Garoppolo because they had to pay him right after they got him. Because remember, he won like 5 or 6 games straight in New England when Tom was out.
They are paying him like $28 million. He threw 8 passes yesterday. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. So now you look at that. You no longer can go out there and probably pull off the Mac trade at that time. I think the one that's going to sting the most is going to be Mahomes. Personally, I want to say leading up to that draft, they had him going somewhere in like the late teens, early 20s. I thought that we had a possibility of probably getting like Jamal Adams at like five, three,
yep.
And then probably trading back up into the first round to get Mahomes. That's actually what I wanted to happen, but we're stuck with what we got right now. But
try to make
kinda
the best.
Hard to
try,
say.
Try to.
Yeah,
try.
It's kind of hard to say if we had Mahomes, would John Fox have did the right thing?
Who knows, you know, Sean? I know, and it's hard to answer. Now you try to make the best of it.
I like the way you said it, though. We're stuck.
Yeah, you try to make the best of it.
That's the, it should be the Bears' motto going into 2020. 2020 Bears, we're stuck.
I don't know that how it would have worked out here. I think Mahomes is so good, he was going to be good no matter what. Yeah, he's got great weapons. Yeah. I get it, but you can very easily put on Kansas City and watch him elevate that offense. I mean, a lot of those weapons were there for Alex Smith. They were fine, but he's got them next level good now with what he. It's not hard to see his command of that offense, is it, Yurk? He knows what to do with the football, where to go. Yeah,
he knows where to fire it.
He's got the skill set that
Not only
is
that,
required.
He's got enough time and patience back there and doesn't have a clock in his brain, tick-tock, tick-tock. He's got enough patience back there when he has the protection to survey the field and wait. And when the defensive back falls down, all of a sudden he sees that, he finds this guy and completes the pass.
I mean, he obviously elevates this offense to the next level. Yes, they're very fast. They're the fastest offense in the league. They've got some of the fastest players in the league. Nobody runs after the catch like the Kansas City receivers. Nobody hit. I saw some crazy stat that the three guys hit 21 miles an hour at some point during a run this year, and no other team I don't think had one guy. They've got three guys.
Right.
That can run. I mean, they're the Legion of Zoom. I mean, I get it. But he obviously elevates that offense. He's the thing that ultimately makes it go. He knows where to go with the football. And he's got the great arm, and he's accurate, and he can throw it from any angle. Let's go to, let's see, how about Ken in Arlington Heights on ESPN 1000? Hey, Ken.
Hey, we're very proud of our hometown boy.
You should be.
Yes, you should be.
So I was lucky enough to watch him for 8 years because he was our high school quarterback, and my kids were in school with him. And then my son went to Eastern, and so I'd go down to watch my son in the marching band, and I'd able to see Jimmy.
Yeah.
So a couple of things. Every offense from high school through college, he always played a hurry-up offense. A couple of plays in a row, fast. And I saw that they didn't do that initially when he started his first game at Eastern, and then it developed into a hurry-up offense. And I'm seeing it now with him at San Francisco, and I'm wondering, do you think because he was behind Brady that Shanahan's listening to him a little bit and he was able to develop that and incorporate that into their offense? Because he's got one of the quickest releases in the league. And very proud to have him on San Francisco.
Well, you should be. And pretty much every high school and college at this point is running hurry-up offense. And that's all they did at Eastern. I saw that.
They call it at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing. It's hurry-up, but they can go as fast or as slow as they want to.
Didn't you and Dan Rowan do one of his games, like senior year on TV?
No, he was a freshman. He was a freshman at the time. I went down to see a playoff game.
Okay, maybe I watched one of his playoff games his senior year, and you saw the way they were playing. That was with Dino, right? Dino Babers.
Dino Babers was there.
They play fast, up tempo.
He brought the Baylor offense over there at the time.
Everybody's doing that in college now across various levels. 312-332-3776. That's the number if you want to jump in. We'll do some trending coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hope you had a great weekend and enjoyed all the football.
I did enjoy the football.
Yeah, I did too.
I enjoyed the football and the football. A lot of action this weekend.
European soccer.
You bet.
Make sure you save us as a favorite on the TuneIn app to get all the podcasts. Randy Merkin's out today. Danny Zetterman's sitting in and helping out. Danny, like old times, let's do some trending. What's happening in the world of social media? What's hot, DZ?
Well, Carm, thanks for asking. Super Bowl LIV is trending today. This just in.
When are we going to go away from the Roman numerals, by the way? Isn't it sort of an antiquated notion?
Didn't they for 50? They went away. It was just Super Bowl 50.
Oh, did they? Why?
Yeah, what? Numbers. They didn't want it to just be Super Bowl L.
They wanted it to stand out. All
they didn't want Super Bowl
loser. Yes. Yeah, I got it. I guess
Super
that makes sense.
Super Bowl 50, kid.
Okay. I mean, you know, Roman numerals. Let's just...
Yeah, let's just forget about the past, Carmen.
Just write Super Bowl 54.
Hey, history, why? Let's just keep repeating.
All right, Danny, I'm sorry, I digress. What's up?
So Super Bowl 54 is trending. We know it's the Chiefs and the 49ers. This is just in, gentlemen. The Chiefs got to choose the color uniforms.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Chiefs are going with their dark jerseys, which I assume means red. Why they didn't just say red, I don't know. The 49ers are going to wear their white jerseys and their gold pants.
Okay.
Now, here's a little something for you.
I like the white and gold pants.
I thought they wanted the white and white combo.
Yep, they're choosing to wear white with gold pants. That's correct. People are upset they're not going white and white.
No, I don't like the white and white. It looks more like classic Niner to me, doesn't it?
I think the gold pants. I think the gold pants are classic Niner.
Well, the players last night were trying to convince officials to let them wear the throwback uniforms that they wore against the Seahawks on the road that were the white and white.
Why? Yeah. I'm surprised. Man, the gold are so much cooler. All right, go ahead, Danny.
Here's a little something for you and Northy on the odds couple this Friday.
Give it to me.
Ready? Yes. Write this down.
I'm going to write it. Hold on. I got my pen.
Now, do you remember which team's wearing white?
The 49ers.
All right. 13 of the last 15 Super Bowls have been won by the team wearing white.
Wow.
13 of the last 15.
How many of them? What was it? ATS.
I don't have that stat. Come on now. Leave that up for Northie.
Carm, doesn't that mean something to you, ATS?
Of course, against the spread.
That's right.
Well, although this game's going to be about a pick 'em. I mean, so it's you're basically picking the winner.
That's right.
That's what you're going to be doing here. So the Niners,
my early lean is San Francisco.
Do you know the Niners have won two of their five Super Bowls in that building? 40% of their
in Super Miami?
Yes. They won two of their five Super Bowls in that building.
I did not know that.
Of course, back then it was called Joe Robbie Stadium. That's a stadium in which Yurko played when he was first starting out in the league practice squad with Miami. Now it's called, I believe it's Hard Rock Stadium, right? They own the naming sponsorship, but that's the same stadium. I mean,
it is.
That's Joe Robbie. They won two of their titles in there, and they'll try to join the Pats and the Steelers as the only franchises to win six Super Bowls, but... They got the Miami thing going, which is good for
which
them.
Is nice.
What else, Danny?
Tom Brady, trending gentleman. He has basically talked about the rumors he's going to be a free agent, and he admitted it's true. Have a listen.
I'm open-minded about the process, and you know, at the same time, I'm I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead, whatever the future may bring. I'll embrace it with open arms.
I mean, if you're the Bears, you would at least inquire, wouldn't you? At the very least, doesn't Ryan Pace pick up the phone and talk to his agent?
Of course.
And say, hey, just, you know, it's Ryan.
Can we work something out?
Is he at all? Would he like to talk? Well, make it worth his while. I mean, like, you have to make that call if you're the Bears, don't you?
Isn't it malpractice if you don't? Your job as a general manager is to make your team better.
It's malpractice. I mean, they're not doing surgery or anything.
But you know what I mean? It's malpractice for a GM.
You're not doing your diligence.
What it's closer to is dereliction of duty.
There you go, Yurko.
Dereliction of duty.
That's what I meant to say. Dereliction of duty.
It's dereliction of duty. That's what it would be. Who's his agent? I don't even know who Tom Brady's agent is. I mean, if you don't call his agent...
Don Yee? Yeah.
Don Yee.
If you don't call and say, Don,
it's Ryan. Mitch is my quarterback, but I don't think he's very good. Would Tom like to go? He wouldn't probably say that. He thinks he's great.
I mean, you've got to at least call Don.
I've got a great young quarterback. I'm going to take Tom to dinner, and I'll make the reservation as Jim McMahon.
Can he drive up in a used Mitsubishi, please?
You got to at least call, right? And just see if Tom Brady's at all interested in your franchise. Don might laugh you off the phone and be like, all right, come on.
Yeah. What are you, nuts?
But at least you called. You'd feel better about yourself that you at least called. You engaged in a conversation.
You're number 30 on his list.
Okay, if that's the case, so be it.
Right in front of New England.
And New England might be number 30 on the list.
And Miami.
I don't know. I still think he's going
back
to
New England. I think New England would be 32, Carl.
I got it. 32, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I still think he's going back to New England. I do. I think he's going to stay there. But who knows? You got to call, though, if you're Ryan.
Are you calling Philip Rivers? Because he's also trending today because reportedly he sold his house in San Diego, is moving his family of 17 down to Miami to be closer to family.
To Miami?
Yeah. He's from the Florida area.
Wow.
So do you call him?
Oh, my God. That doesn't do as much for me, but it's better than what they have
now.
Yeah,
but it doesn't do anything for me.
Probably not. You put yourself in a tough spot when you keep chasing the quarterback, man. It's hard.
Also trending, Darrell Revis.
Oh, what?
I saw the exchange.
He decided to go after 49ers quarterback Richard Sherman on Twitter yesterday. He kind of called him out, saying that he doesn't really play good defense anymore. Sherman kind of shot back and said, well, my ninth season looks a lot better than yours.
Yeah, really?
Revis didn't play that long.
Is he just bitter because he doesn't play anymore and he's watching Richard Sherman continue his career?
Revis Island was a three-year phenomenon. And during those 3 years,
pretty great.
It was some tremendous cornerbacking going on.
Yeah.
But it was a limited 3-year run for Revis. After that, it was very mortal.
3-4 years, probably. Yeah, you're right. He was something, man, in those 3 or 4 years.
But, and he got paid.
Is he just bitter? Because, you know, he's older anyway. I mean, he's a couple years older than Richard Sherman.
When you retire, you kind of want your legacy to live on, whatever legacy it was. And so you kind of knock other guys.
He wants to be known as the best corner of this era, and he feels like Richard Sherman is taking some of that away from him now with his longevity. He's back. Well, this is the third Super Bowl for Richard Sherman, so maybe he's just bitter. What else, Dan?
Maybe he's trying to get a job as an analyst.
Maybe the marquee network.
There's easier ways to do it.
Hey, the marquee. It's like you're still looking at my sheet and cheating.
You said cheat, right, Danny?
Maybe, I said cheat. What did I say?
No, I don't know.
Maybe he wants to be an influencer.
Maybe. Yeah. The Cubs and Tom Ricketts are trending. That's because Cubs convention was this weekend. Tom Ricketts was booed when he met the fans and he brought up the marquee network.
What our promise for the next 10 years is to continue to have the best relationship with our fans of any sport in the world, any professional sports team in the world. And that starts with the Marquee Network. The Marquee Network. What do you have against the Marquee Network? Believe me, you won't be booing about that in a year. You guys won't, you won't be booing about the Marquee Network in 1 year.
He was genuinely stunned at the reaction from the crowd. You could tell. Well, and if you, you watch the video, you can really tell he was baffled as to why
when
they
you're
were
the boss
there.
In front of your employees, they can't boo you. But when you're in front of fans, they can boo you all they want. What do you, what do you think, you're going to shut them up? What do you got? Your guys coming out of the walls there going to control them, put sleeping gas on them? It doesn't work that way.
Is it because in the minds of the fans, the Marquee Network is what has dominated the conversation and dominated their time and energy, and all their resources are going into the Marquee Network just to make them richer, and they feel like they're doing a disservice to the product on the field right now? Is that why it was met with boos? I don't think they were booing. Those are Cub fans. I don't think they were booing that they're going to have to pay an extra $6 a month. What's Marquee Network going to cost?
We don't know
is
yet.
Is it $6 a month?
It'll probably be even less than that.
Okay, less than that. I don't think most of them are going to complain. Not everybody. I get it. Some people are on very tight budgets. I do understand. I don't mean to be unsympathetic. But most people who are Cub fans are going to say, all right, I'll pony up the $5 for 6 months out of the year to watch the Cubs.
Is it part of your basic service, though? For those even that don't watch the Cubs, will have to pay it also.
Well, that's
tricky.
That's
the problem.
That's tricky.
Or will it be an additional $7 and you can opt into it?
Okay, I get
it. If I had a feeling the Cubs would want to make it part of your basic service.
Right.
So everybody, Grandma Joan, that's a White Sox fan,
White Sox fans,
the south side in Bridgeport, doesn't even realize she's giving the Cubs $84 a month.
But he had
$84 a year.
He had no idea why they were like, he was stunned.
Like he's stunned.
He couldn't believe that they would be booing the Marquee Network.
Well, and listen, you know, in those golden circles and
bragging.
Those wonderful clouds that he's in.
He's bragging. He's beating on his chest about his television network. Oh, you'll see a year from now. Not like, hey, we're going to be back in the World Series. At least Jose Altuve's out there going, hey, we're going back to the World Series. We're going to find a new way to cheat. I mean, I'm sorry. We're going to find a way to be good again, and we're going to go back to the World Series, and you're all going to rue the day that you were pounding on us. Tom Ricketts isn't like, oh, we're going back to the World Series. Oh, you're going to see. You're going to love Marquee Network.
What kind of response is that? Surprised Ricketts didn't say, you peons will enjoy what I give you, and the propaganda we'll be pumping out of this will be all pro Cub 24-7 every single day.
Eviscerate the proletariat. Yeah. I thought maybe you were going to get that from him. I couldn't believe his reaction to it. You're going to see a year from now. You're going to see my big Marquee
Network. What do you got against Marquee Network? Oh, we're so fantastic.
Oh, my God. Anything else, Dan?
Yes, lastly, and most importantly, MLK Day, Dr. King. We remember the legacy and the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. today.
That's right. All the NBA action today, always great. They start soon. They're probably games are already underway. The Bulls play at 4. Bulls play early today up in Milwaukee. I got a little bit of an angle on that game. I'll share with you next. Okay,
Yurko? Interesting.
You could shoot it down relatively quickly, maybe, because they are playing the big bad Bucks, who have won like 7 in a row and I think 11 out of 12. I'll share that with you coming up next, and more football stuff around the corner. We got more to break down. We're reacting to Championship Sunday, talking about Super Bowl 54, and we will also nominate our Joe's Stonecrab Primetime Players of the Weekend when we're back in 2 minutes.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Bruce, on this Monday, a holiday Monday. Happy MLK Day to everybody. Enjoy the basketball today. Hungry Heart.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
From Bruce Springsteen. It's Carmen and Yurko live in our first Midwest Bank State Street studios. Hope everyone had a great weekend. And if you've got a little extra time off, you're enjoying it. Kids are off school, out and about. A lot of families walking around downtown. Have a great day and enjoy it. And remember why it is so important. So we got Super Bowl 54 all set. We also have to nominate our Joe's Stone Crab Primetime Players of the Weekend, Yurko. Every Monday, your chance to win a $100 gift card to one of our favorite restaurants in town, one of the best restaurants in Chicago. Everything's great. The steaks, the chops, the fish, the crab, of course. I mean, the king crab legs are out of this world. They never disappoint. Merkin's a big fan of the bread basket, if that's your sort of thing. Great cocktails. Everything, top to bottom, and the pies are the best in town, so save room for dessert. Yurko, who would you like to nominate from this weekend?
Carmen, took him less than 1,000 games, but this weekend, matter of fact, yesterday against Winnipeg in the third period, Patrick Kane notched an assist and scored his 1,000th point as a Chicago Blackhawk.
Amazing, isn't it?
So I give that to Patrick Kane.
I'm going to circle back to that in a minute, Yurko. Something else about Kane and the Blackhawks. I will nominate Raheem Mostert. We told you the circuitous journey he's been on in his young NFL career. I mean, he's not even that young. I mean, guy came into the league as an undrafted free agent out of Purdue back in 2015. Between 2015 and 2016, Raheem Mostert was on six different teams. Six. Sometimes just a practice squad. Sometime elevated to the active roster, two games with the Bears in 2016. Six teams, Yurko. At the end of 2016, he joined his seventh team. Seven teams in one calendar year. And he finally found a home in San Francisco, and he had an epic day yesterday. Only Eric Dickerson's ever rushed for more in a playoff game. He scored four touchdowns. He rushed for over 200 yards. He's averaging like 6.8 yards per carry in the playoffs. I'm going to go with Raheem Mostert. Boys, who is our Joe Stonecrab primetime player of the weekend?
Guys, I appreciate you letting me play in the sandbox with you here today. I know if Merkin was here, he would suggest you missed the boat. Tony Finau had a 10-under 62 on Friday at the American Express.
You know,
so that's where we're heading. No, we're going to go with Patrick Kane.
Yes, like Patrick Kane. Okay, Kaner is the Joe Stonecrab primetime player of the weekend. So remember that. You could win the $100 gift card to Joe's a little bit later on. I mentioned a Bulls nugget. They're getting 14 and a half today at Milwaukee. Milwaukee's been rolling, Yurko. They're great. We know it. They've won, I think, like 10 in a row going back over the last couple seasons against the Bulls. They've won the first three meetings of the year. This is it already on Jan 20. This is the last meeting between the Bulls and the Bucks. But 14's a lot. And you know what I find interesting, even though Milwaukee's won 11 out of 12? You know where they're going after the game today?
Where?
Europe. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to Europe to play in Paris at the end of the week against the Charlotte Hornets. Maybe you got guys looking ahead a little bit, like a week in Paris, right? Like, hey, we're going to Paris.
They might be doing that.
You know, maybe the Bulls sneak up on them a little bit.
Will we meet Emmanuel Macron?
Well, I don't know, right? Are we going to take pictures under the Champs-Élysées?
Uh-huh.
I mean, listen, if I'm a 20-something-year-old star basketball player who's a millionaire, I'm looking forward to a week in Paris.
Yeah.
I know they say it's a business week.
You're going to be taking care of your business first.
I'm thinking the
And then we're going to go travel.
I'm thinking the Bulls getting 14 might be a good play today.
A little rich?
Yeah.
Huh? You might go ahead and make a play on it.
The Bulls had a lead in Philly on Friday. They blew it. They were down big Saturday at home against the Cavs. They rallied and won. I think it was 21 in the fourth, thanks to Zach LaVine. So they split the weekend, and maybe they keep it close later today in the matinee with Milwaukee. There's my play for you.
All right, here's my play for you.
I'm in a funk right now, too. I'm trying to break
out
of it.
Here's my top of the hour tidbit for you. You know who sits at 799 points for the Chicago Blackhawks?
I'm going to guess number 19.
Johnny Taves. One more point, he gets to 800.
Wow, they're going
to
have 1,800 combined points. That's how you succeed.
That's it. You're bad. You get the number three pick in one draft, happens to be Johnny Taves, and the next one you get Patrick Kane with the number one pick.
Unbelievable.
One comes back from North Dakota. Patrick Kane comes and just slides right in, and boom.
From the OHL. Yeah. I heard Danny ask earlier during Shot or No Shot, Patrick Kane is the Blackhawks' greatest player when it's all said and done. And I think that's absolutely a shot. We just did our top 20 Blackhawks.
Yeah.
With Brewhouse Legends Snack Nut Mix a couple weeks ago. And we had Kane third overall, still behind Makita and Hall. But there's no doubt that he could be. I think he could be, when he's done, the greatest American-born player to ever play the game. And there have been some great ones. Chris Chelios was great. Mike Modano was great. Joe Mullen was great. People don't remember how good Joe Mullen was. Brian Leetch was great, Yurko.
All greats.
Phil Housley was a terrific player, for crying out loud. Maybe not of the ilk of those guys. But
did you mention Modano?
I did. I mentioned Mike Modano. They were great, great players. But this guy,
pretty darn good,
might be the guy. Like, he might be the greatest American-born player ever. The Hawks have won five in a row. The problem is, with those five straight wins, they're still 3 points out of the last playoff spot.
Still out. Do you know they've got four teams with 57 points in the other Western Division?
There's
four teams with 57, one with 58.
Wow. Pat Boyle was telling me there's like between 3 and 8 or 3 and 9 maybe. There's like 3 points, that four points that separate. It's like complete chaos in the conference standings right now. And the standings are so goofy to look at in the hockey anyway.
Right.
I wish they'd tweak it somehow, some way.
I wish they would. I don't think they will, but I wish they would.
Yurko's always said they should give 3 points for a regulation win. Greg Wyshynski just wrote a big story about that for ESPN.com. Yurko's been saying that forever. It incentivizes teams a little bit more. Like, you're truly dangling that carrot a little bit more I think, for teams.
And they want to take one away from an overtime loss.
Right.
Which is fine. You go into overtime, you lose.
Yeah.
No point for you.
Mm. But the Hawks are really playing great right now. Do you know, speaking of betting trends, they won again last night in the second of a back-to-back. You know, normally those are tough games. The Blackhawks, so keep an eye on this, folks. You're speaking of the trends going forward. The Blackhawks have been dominant, Yurko, in the second half of back-to-backs this year.
Did you see the goal from 2 games ago?
The Kubalik goal that he swatted out of midair?
That's
the goal of, that's the goal of 2020 so far.
Unbelievable.
The hand-eye coordination that takes.
Kubalik could play baseball.
Yeah, really. He doesn't even need to steal the signs.
I bet you he'd strike out less than the Cubs do.
He doesn't need to steal the signs either. That was an unbelievable goal. It was a backhand sauce pass. I like my backhand sauce extra saucy.
Blind. Came blind.
From Johnny Taves.
Yeah, Kubalik is blind. There's a guy, defenseman, in front of him. So he's got to pick up the puck late and just swats it into the net.
Taves knew he was charging to the net, but Taves put too much on it.
Too much pepper.
So it was almost too saucy. Extra sauce.
Yeah, extra sauce at the knees.
It was too much, and it never hit the ice. And Kubalik just, like Yurko said, he's got to peer around a defenseman, and he just swatted out of midair. It was sensational.
It was glorious.
Boy, did the Leafs look terrible Saturday night. I went back and rewatched that game. I was emceeing a charity event, which was a great event, the Funding Futures event at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn, benefiting Down Syndrome Research, Yurko, and the Lumine Foundation. Fabulous night. We went over... They've been doing this for 8 years. This was the 8th year. Right. Over $1 million raised.
You're
in 8 years. $1 million.
That's a lot of money.
They raised almost $180,000 on Saturday, and it was great. I went back and I watched the game Sunday morning. Boy, Toronto looked brutal. But yeah, the Hawks are playing with a pep in their step, man. They go through Eastern Canada, and they look great.
Might have the rookie of the year.
Kubalik might be the rookie of the year. I mean, I just hope they didn't bury themselves.
They may have.
With the way they played early. Now they've won 5 in a row. They're still 3 points out of a playoff spot.
Love it.
312-332-3776. Make sure you follow us on Instagram. I'm at Carmen DeFalco 5. Yurko is at Yurkovic John. Let's say hi to Matt in Des Plaines. I wanted to sing that for you, Yurko, because I love you so much. Matt, what's up? You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Wanted to just call out, you know, I've been a lifelong Chiefs fan for 40-whatever years now, been a long life, glad things are finally panning out, but also went to Texas Tech, so been following Mahomes for a long time.
Lucky bastard.
I know, I feel like, why did I not put some bet down on him years ago, but that's the way it goes. What I find interesting about him is a couple things. He is a really high confidence but low ego guy, which I don't think he necessarily gets enough credit for. And the other thing is, I remember when the day he was drafted, Lewis Riddick said, this guy is going to be in the perfect position to get the coaching he needs to evolve from an air raid Big 12 quarterback into a real pro. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think every team does that by any means. But, man, what an awesome thing that he's doing. So exciting to watch him. Lots of fun.
Well, good luck in 2 weeks, Matt. As a Chiefs fan, we wish you the best. I'm really pulling for the Chiefs because of the Andy Reid connection. I'd like to see him win. I think that would be great. Yurko's, I get it why he's a little bit torn. He's got his EIU guy, but Yurko loves Andy Reid too.
Oh, so you of course
it's a win-win for you, really.
Right. It is a win-win. And all I've got to do is now, the brain goes away. I should say, the heart goes away. And the brain gets turned off, and the pocketbook gets turned on.
Yeah.
Brain on, pocketbook on, heart off. I can't think with my heart.
Right.
I got to think with my brain. And the way I just kind of broke it down earlier today, I think San Francisco's the better team.
Okay.
So if I were to make a wager, it would be on San Francisco.
Andy Reid really has done well with quarterbacks in his career. He's just done well with offense. He's adapted a little bit here as the years have gone on. It's funny. Andy Reid's the older guy, and they've got the incredible passing attack. I get it because of his weapons and his quarterback. Kyle Shanahan's the younger guy, and they're playing like it's 1950. The quarterback doesn't throw the ball for an hour and a half. Do you realize you're
like Norm Van Brocklin?
Yeah. Do you realize since the interception that Jimmy G threw at the end of the half in the Minnesota game, right? So you're going back to the divisional round.
Right.
Do you know what their run-to-pass ratio is since that moment?
4-1.
It's 81% run, 19% pass.
4-1.
4-1. It's crazy. It's 30 years ago. They've run 71 running plays since that moment. And I don't mean to suggest that he doesn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. I just think he has found something that really works. And I've been saying this all year. When you watch the Niners, not only can they run the ball, Yurk, they run it like in every possible way. And I'm not smart enough I wouldn't pretend to be able to.
They toss it. They got a power aspect to it.
I'd like Yurko to look at all those.
Stretch aspect to it.
Everything, Yurk. And I can see it happening, and I can't diagnose her X's and O's why they're so successful at it, but everything, power, zone, outside, toss, like they can run the ball any way they want.
They block with seven, first of all. They block with seven. You're five, you're tight end, you're fullback. So they block with seven. And they win a lot.
Juszczyk wins like all the time.
And win by a mile.
Yeah.
Where guys are completely out of
place. Juszczyk opens up whole. I mean, he just pummels guys. It's incredible.
And they're winning at different levels. So what happens is they're moving people off the line of scrimmage. You know, so they're winning at a level where you're getting in the way of people that want to do things or trying to be productive as they're coming from the back up, like your safety is coming up. They're coming up to try to help and try to make a play. And they're winning at those levels, too.
They're playing a different brand of football right now. 312-332-3776.
Sometimes it's okay to be the passenger on the bus when the bus is rolling along.
I'm sure Jimmy will take it for now. And they might need him to throw it a lot in this next game. You don't know. Every game's its own entity.
But
obviously.
He's more than capable. That's what one has to remember. He is more than capable.
He's put up some big numbers for them in a few games this year. Hey, look, he didn't throw a pass for an hour and a half. The first pass they did ask him to throw after that drought, he threw a pee.
Yeah.
And he threw a dart.
December 8th against New Orleans. Take a look at that game he played. Yeah, nice game that day.
Did Matt LaFleur make a big mistake on the Packers' opening drive yesterday? That's coming up next.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko. And at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Here, I take you to the start of the NFC title game yesterday. Packers win the toss, they defer. That's what everybody's doing, or almost everybody's doing these days. They kick the ball off. The defense holds.
Holds.
One of the few times they held all day.
That's right.
They hold. They force a punt. They get the ball back. Aaron Rodgers moving the ball a little bit. They get stopped at midfield. It's fourth down and one at midfield, and Matt LaFleur punts. You know what happens next? The 49ers score on their next five possessions to close the half. They score on their first possession in the second half. And the game, for all intents and purposes, is over. Punting
is
on
it more,
fourth and one at midfield.
More powerful, though? Is it more powerful? You know, depending upon where you're at. There's no score, right?
No score in the game.
No score. Usually you've got a field position battle. Three sets of numbers to consider. A, how good you are at fourth and one. How good the opposing team is at fourth and one. Mm-hmm. And then what are the percentages of teams scoring from different field positions that are on the field? When you crunch all those numbers, okay, all those numbers get crunched, it spit something out to tell you whether you should or you shouldn't go at that particular moment in time.
Is he doing it that way, or is he going old school thinking, it's fourth down, I better punt it, I don't want to give him good field position? Well,
field position's one of the considerations.
Into the whole calculus.
If you put them inside the 20, odds are that they're a 10% chance of them going down and scoring.
In fairness, they did put him inside the 20.
Yeah.
The punter got the job done. He kept it out of the end zone. The 49ers started that drive at their own 11.
Yes. So you'd think you've got an advantage then defensively. They probably have about a 12%, 15% chance of moving the ball downfield far enough to either kick a field goal or score a touchdown. So that's what you're trying to do early on with a defense that was playing well going into that game.
Jimmy Garoppolo threw two passes, or what would that be, like a quarter of his attempts, on that drive. Two big chunks they got with Deebo Samuel, and they moved the ball, they went down, they scored.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch the 9-on-7 for you tonight.
Okay.
I'm going to call Tommy, see if we can't get his code, get me in there so I can check out the 9-on-7.
Yeah?
And I'll slowly but surely go down every single running play San Francisco
and just see how they do it?
And let you know exactly what was happening. Who's winning, who's dominating, who's doing this, who's doing that.
471 rushing yards in two games in the playoffs for the 49ers. They're averaging 5.3 yards per carry as a team. In the playoffs. Let's go to Jim in Lockport on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great. How are you?
Love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, you guys like local good field stories?
Sure, we do.
The quarterback coach for KC?
Yep.
Mike Kafka.
Yes, correct.
Northwestern.
He was rumored for a little while to be maybe on the Bears' list to come and be the offensive coordinator.
Right. You know, he played for Northwestern.
Yeah.
He's a St. Rita boy. So that's a good story right there.
Yeah, absolutely. We should maybe even try to get a guy like Mike Kafka on. Jim, thanks. That is a good story.
The Catholic League.
I saw Adam Johns tweeted this, Yurko. Adam Johns from The Athletic Chicago, of course, covers the Bears. Fun local, speaking of local facts, a fun local fact about the Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo and Patrick Mahomes both have worked with private quarterback coach Jeff Christensen, who is based in Chicago. Mahomes currently does. Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill also worked with him. Can the Bears call Jeff Christensen?
Another Eastern Illinois guy, Jeff Christensen, played quarterback down there.
Is that right?
He started at Northwestern, got screwed over, then ended up down at Eastern Illinois.
Can the Bears call him and say, hey, would you mind working with Mitch?
Do you remember his kid, Jake Christensen, played at the University of Iowa?
I do, yeah. Actually. I didn't realize that it was
that
his
was
kid.
That was his son. I think he played out in the Lockport area. That's where he high schooled out there.
Do you
know where he went to college, Jeff Christensen?
We just said it.
Oh, sorry.
Danny thought he was getting a beat on us, and he wasn't paying attention.
I was typing so fast.
Yeah, yes, he went to Eastern. Yeah. So is Mitchie the kid working with him? I mean, maybe it probably doesn't hurt.
You know, Jeff does things his way. You know, he's not shy about sharing his opinion and his thoughts on the way to play quarterback.
Well, working with a couple of guys so far.
Just letting you know.
What, they think Mitch can't handle it? Are we back to Mitch can't handle it?
Now, if Jeff Christensen was working with Drew Brees, now that's telling me something, too, then. Did that happen?
I don't know.
Or is Eastern Illinois' own Sean Payton enough to work with?
I think he's worked his magic well enough. You guys, man, you're sprinkled all over this league.
We do,
you guys
man.
Have your fingerprints.
Tentacles. Our like tentacles are everywhere.
Your tentacles are everywhere. Your footprints, your fingerprints, all your prints.
All of it, kid. That's what we do.
Reggie.
And the offspring of Eastern Illinois people, too.
Yeah, that's right. Reggie, because Mike hold on, Reg, 1 second. Mike Shanahan's an Eastern guy,
yes,
right?
He is.
So there's Kyle's in the Super Bowl now. Reggie's in Bolingbrook. What's up, buddy?
Hey, you know, you want to see a thing of beauty, man? You watch Garoppolo hide that ball after he hands it off. The way he fakes, he just sells the fake so well, man. Better than most of the quarterbacks in the National Football League.
The play action,
I believe.
Yeah.
When he hands the ball off and he follows through with that fake and all of that stuff, man, it is a thing of beauty. I'm telling you.
All right, Reggie, I'll keep a closer eye on it. Peyton Manning was always good at that.
Yeah.
Peyton knew how to really hide that ball, didn't he? It's also, I mean, how hard could your play action be when you're running over guys the way they have all year? You know,
I mean,
I could go out and do the play action and. Let's do that for our Twitter video tomorrow, your Instagram video, because I do a pretty good play action.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Only if you put your hands between my legs and take the snap. Carm, you got to really press up against my infinity
right.
Stones,
can you get down in a squat still like that?
Can I get down in a squat? Right. You kidding me to snap the ball?
Okay. Well, listen. Well, you are down like 10 pounds because of Seattle Sun.
Yeah, you're right there. You know, I am the human tripod. When I get down there in a stance, you know, all 3 points on the ground, hand, 2 feet.
The Packers had a bad snap yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Not a shotgun snap.
You wouldn't expect that.
Center to quarterback exchange.
Was that 4 turnovers yesterday?
One
fumble?
Or 4?
How many interceptions were thrown? 2 interceptions, right?
There were two.
Snap right there from the QB center exchange. Number 24 came off the corner.
I think you're right.
Stripped the quarterback of the ball, and I think Buckner ended up falling on it.
No, it was 3 turnovers here.
It was three,
yeah. You turn the ball over 3 times in a playoff game on the road.
You don't have much of a shot there.
Chances are you're going to get housed.
And they got enough pressure.
What does Waddle call it? He calls it getting boat raced, I think.
Yeah.
Right? They got boat raced.
The boat races. No
What's
good.
What's the genesis of that?
The boat race?
Yeah. I like the term, I just don't know if I get it. What does that mean? They got boat raced.
Tommy used to go out, and he was the coxman in a crew out in Boston. You know how big that is with Yale.
It's huge.
Harvard, Boston College tried to put a team together.
Yeah.
The tiniest guy they could find was Waddle because he was a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They put him up in the bow of the boat, and then he was the guy yelling stroke.
Got it.
Stroke. And then when you get to emergency time, it's double time. And then they increase stroke slowly but surely, and they continue to stroke until they got double strokes in the same period of time because they're making that run to the finish.
That guy, I don't know anything about rowing. That guy's got the easiest job, though, right?
So
I mean,
Tommy,
he's just up there yelling stroke.
It's actually in the Urban Dictionary.
Hold on real quick, though. But Tommy's team was so bad, They got taken to the boat races all the time.
Oh, is that why
that's
they got boat races?
No,
yeah.
No, Coxman. He's close. In the dictionary?
Are there, no, boat race.
Oh, boat race
is in
what
the,
is that?
So it says it comes from the boat race, an annual rowing competition between Oxford and Cambridge, in which the first side to get ahead can move to the middle of the river, which where the current is fastest and is almost never outtaken thereafter.
So they get the advantage.
So whoever's in the lead never loses.
Good. Tommy's a BC guy, so he knows of...
Yes,
the famous matchups.
Oxford.
And then the actual example they use, the sentence they use is, Chicago got boat raced by Green Bay.
Oh, my God. Tell them to change that, Danny.
That's got to be Wikipedia. One can change that.
Chicago
I just thought it was his experience.
Boat raced by Green Bay.
I thought it was Tommy's experience as a coxman.
Right, that's a real thing, too.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
A, you know, that doesn't
up
have to be
up at Boston
dumped.
College. You're not going to be
Boston College.
Harvard, Yale.
College.
Not on the River Thames. Yeah, what is the river
the Charles.
There?
The River Charles.
The River Charles.
Tommy.
Tommy.
The Bears better call
I can
Tom Brady.
Dickie Brasci in the back yelling at Tommy.
Tommy.
Tommy, quicker strokes.
Got to get a Coors Light. Quicker strokes, Tommy. Hurry up now.
Now Dickie Brasci doesn't row no boats no more.
No,
now
he's
got a yacht.
Yes.
He's got a 90-footer.
Tommy's still his coxman, too. He's up
in
the
front. Tommy's up in front going, stroke!
He goes on his boat.
Yeah.
Please call Tom Brady.
I got to meet Dickie Brasci. Maybe he'll bring Brady with him.
Please call Tom Brady if you're Ryan Pace. We played the sound. Chris, you should play that again real quick. Play the Tom Brady sound. I mean, like, Brady's telling everybody, right? Like,
this is his
plea to the world. Like, he could be pulling a Kobe Bryant. Like, he really doesn't want
to
leave.
This is the plea to the world.
He doesn't want to leave. He wants to go back, but he's going to put it all out there. And this is all part of negotiating. Maybe he wants to feel the love from a few different organizations just for once in his career. You know, he was the 199th pick. It could all be a big game. But listen to this.
I'm open-minded about the process. And, you know, at the same time, I'm... You know, I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
I mean, again, even if he's playing a game, don't you call. Aren't 20 teams, how many teams need a quarterback in this league? It's a lot of them.
You have to do due diligence.
18 teams at least calling his agent going, hey, you know.
We need Tommy for 2 years.
I mean, shouldn't Ryan Pace call up and go, our defense is really good?
Yes.
Don Yee. We got Khalil Mack.
You've
got
to have somebody on your own team represented by Don Yee.
Right.
So you call about a contract extension with the kid that you got on your team, and then you say, what about Tom?
We're really good.
Yeah.
Does Tom think he could play here in Chicago?
Tom's the key piece for the next 2 years to take us over the top.
I still think Brady's got some good football left, and when I take Tom Brady for a year or two with the Bears defense.
Over Mitch Trubisky, yes.
I sure would.
Yes.
Tom Brady to Allen Robinson, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
There were reports that Brady was at the fight Saturday night in Vegas, but reports were that he was talking to Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, for a good half hour straight.
Wow.
Now that's interesting.
Go play in Vegas? Go play with Gruden as they christen Vegas?
That'd be interesting for me. That'd be some pop out there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What do you do with Carr? Hey, listen, he's a capable quarterback, man.
Capable. I don't know if Gruden's in love with him, is he?
I don't think he is. I think he's looking for somebody else.
Derek Carr can be very Jekyll and Hyde, can't he, throughout the course of a season? Like, Derek Carr is one of those classic guys who teases you. He puts together, I mean, he's probably better than Jay, but I mean, like, he puts together five or six games where you go, man, Derek Carr. And then doesn't he have like four or five where you go, ooh, Derek Carr. Like, isn't he kind of that guy? He's And this isn't all on him. I mean,
what
the Raiders they've been pretty half-assed.
How old is he?
He's 28. He's 39 and 55 as a starter, though, Yerk.
Well, you play on a horrific team. You're going to have a bad record.
He's
you know, Tomczak had a winning record.
He's 2-1 touchdown interception for his career.
Kid, Mike Tomczak had a winning record.
Yeah, that's true.
Tomczak played 18 years.
That's true.
One hell of a retirement.
He had a great record with the Bears, I bet.
He's going to have one hell of a, you know, a 401k.
Oh, my God, yeah.
The questions are coming down.
So what are you suggesting?
Brady enough? Do you believe Brady enough is enough to win the Super Bowl?
I think it helps.
Questions. I got seven texts from seven different people saying the same thing. Is he enough to win the Super Bowl for the Chicago Bears? Are you better than San Francisco when you bring Brady in here?
Well, listen, year to year in this league, I mean, other than
crazy
the Patriots,
things can happen. Yeah.
Like, who's really built for long term success and sustainability? Maybe the Chiefs, because Mahomes looks like he's going to be great.
Of the two, the Green Bay or the Minnesota Vikings, which one of the two backslides next year?
great question.
Because somebody's backsliding.
I still believe in Aaron Rodgers more than I believe in Kirk Cousins. So I'll say the Vikings.
Vikings drop back.
Yes.
Okay.
But I
think there's regression in both areas.
I think there is, too.
That's what I'm going to say.
Regression. I think you're right.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's really... These windows aren't propped open for long in the NFL. They just aren't. Again, maybe the Chiefs because of who they have now. The Patriots have been the exception to the rule, but, you know, they're built to last. Nobody's really built to last in the NFL. That's what we've learned. That's the way the NFL likes it. We've learned that more than anything over the last 10 years.
By the way, the Tennessee touchdown scored yesterday. Marion Catholic kid out of Chicago Heights.
I'd like to hear that.
Kelly, what is his name? 71 for the Tennessee.
Yeah, the lineman. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was his name? Chad Kelly?
Dan something. Yeah. Dan Kelly.
There is something. Good for him, though. Chicago kid.
Yeah.
More of your phone calls coming up next.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Songs are timeless, Yurko, and this is one of them. This will be getting guys pumped up, and gals pumped up for as long as we live.
I get into the weight room.
Play in the weight room, in the locker room.
This is the kind of stuff that you need to hear.
This is
The Guns N' Roses, when it came out in the late 80s.
Give it to me.
Guns N' Roses was it. If you went into a weight room,
give it to me.
You had Guns N' Roses
absolutely.
Going. Appetite for destruction. That's right.
Paradise City.
We've got to do a shout-out to the backup guard. Nick Allegretti, Lincoln Way East High School, played at Illinois.
One of yours.
Looks like he had a lot of sausage, too, when he was a kid. Look at the size of that kid. He's a monster. 6'4", 320 pounds.
Oh, my God. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
Nick Allegretti.
Allegretti.
Right, Lincoln
Way
good.
East played at Illinois, too.
A lot of local angles.
Another local angles here in the Super Bowl. Remember, that's how we bumped into Ninkovich the one time.
Yeah, that's right.
We said to ourselves, look at this kid. He's from Joliet.
Yep.
Boo.
And Lincoln Way, right?
Then we talked to
Nick
him.
Go to Lincoln Way?
Yeah, and he went to junior college, too.
And he went to...
Junior college, went to Purdue.
Joliet Junior College, maybe.
From Purdue, was drafted by New Orleans.
That's
even
right.
New Orleans makes a mistake every once in a while. Yeah. They sent him on the merry way. Up to New England he went, read and react. The next thing you know, played for an extended period of time. He's a gazillionaire, met his wife down in New Orleans. How about that?
Yeah.
Life story
That's
for Rob
good.
Ninkovich.
Yeah.
Got a tear in my eye just thinking about it.
So it might be hard for Bears fans to watch the Super Bowl a little bit with Mahomes and Garoppolo. You know what's going to be even harder, though, I think, Yurk, in this game? Watching the tight ends. For the first time ever, the Super Bowl is going to feature a pair of tight ends that had over 1,000 yards receiving. That, you know, each team has a 1,000-yard receiving tight end. Never happened before in the history of the Super Bowl.
In the history of the Super Bowl.
53 of these. I was surprised at that.
I'm shocked.
With the way the position has changed just in the last 10 or 15 years.
Maybe for a while only a handful of guys were getting to 1,000 yards. That's why.
I was surprised at that. But I read that in the stat pack from ESPN Stats and Info this morning that never before have two tight ends, you know, one from each team, had 1,000 yards in the same season in which they reached the Super Bowl. And it's going to be tough for Bears fans because I think as fans we're wondering, hey, where's our tight end? Trey Burton looked great for those first six or seven games. Yep. Then he wasn't so great, and he got hurt, and he hasn't been healthy in a year and a half. And it's troubling because this offense, you can see it, really relies on good tight end play. And the two best in the NFL right now will be on display in Miami in 2 weeks, and it's Travis Kelce and George Kittle. Did you know that George Kittle, since coming into the league in 2017, has the third most yards after the catch in the NFL? Can you believe that? The third most, Yurko. It's George Kittle.
I am not surprised by that.
I am a little when I saw that. I mean,
that's impressive.
On. Yeah, you would think.
And he got 1,000 yards without being healthy. He didn't play all 16 games this year. That's impressive.
Christian McCaffrey's number one, and it's not even close. He's got almost 2,500 yards after the catch. Alvin Kamara's number two. Like, those guys don't really surprise you. I would have expected then to see, Michael Thomas or, DeAndre Hopkins or Julio Jones.
Catches something short and then goes long.
I don't know. And maybe those guys are more down the field threats and that's where they get their yardage. But I saw George Kittle and I was like, wow, that's impressive for a tight end that can do that over a long sustained period. You're talking about like his last two seasons have been superb. He's got the third most yards after the catch.
Well, there's only three tight ends that had over 1,000 yards this year.
And my guess is Kelce,
yeah.
Kittle,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to go with I don't think Ertz got there, did he? Oh, he did. Okay, Ertz. All right, that's it?
Yep.
Those are the three.
And that's, well, no, but this thing tricked me. Hold on. Let me do it again. That was 2018. They only had three.
Oh, okay.
I went 2019. I clicked on 2019, and it gave it to me. There were still three this year. Zach Ertz, you were right in your original lean that he was not in 2019.
I'm going to guess Austin Hooper.
Kelce, Kittle were the two names that you had already, right? They're going to be playing in the Super Bowl.
Right. Austin Hooper?
No, the kid that had a phenomenal year that came out of nowhere, and we saw him in training camp, Hard Knocks.
Oh, in Oakland.
Darren Waller.
Waller, yeah.
He had 11:45. But again, it's only three tight ends.
Yeah, wow.
So the reason I think this happens is because you're not choosing from 14 receivers, you know, 14 tight ends. I think you're choosing from a limited amount of receivers every single year.
Hmm.
That's why.
Boy, the Bears need to find that guy, don't they? If this offense is going to work, Yurko? The Bears didn't have 100. They didn't have 100 yards out of the tight end, did they, this year?
No. A 100-yard game?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They didn't have a single 100-yard
game. No, they weren't even remotely close.
What was their total yardage, I wonder, even out of the position?
Oh, I remember I took a look at it at the end of the year. I went back and reconfigured the numbers.
Yeah.
I think their total yardage out of the tight end position was like 460, 444. Oh, and it had gone from 23 individual players having more. It had dropped off to only being 20 tight ends having more receiving yards than the Bears had as a total team.
The Bears didn't have a single tight end reach 100 yards for the season. Not only did they not have a 100-yard game, let that sink in for a second. The Bears didn't have a tight end that had 100 receiving yards on the year. The leading tight end receiver for the Bears was J.P. Holtz, Yurko, who had 91 yards in 2016.
Yeah, that's pathetic.
I'm sorry, 2016. In 2019, he played in 14 games. He had 91 yards. They did not have a single tight end to have 100 yards on the entire year.
So in 2017, two tight ends had 1,000 yards.
I'm going to guess
Gronkowski.
Gronk and Kelce.
I believe you're right, yes.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
And two in 2016. So that's why you don't have
it.
It's
only a couple.
It's damn near impossible. Yep. There's only two guys or three guys doing it every single year.
The first time it's ever happened. Don in Homer Glen needs to correct something. We made a mistake. What's up, Don?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great. Really appreciate your intellect and insight on a lot of stuff, especially Jerko locally, being out here on the south side. Just wanted to let you guys know I'm not from the Ivy League or anything like that. But it's Cox Swain.
Oh,
it's
not Cox Swain. What a
Cox
shame.
Swain.
All right. Well,
I mean, U of I alum and
Cox Swain. Well,
that's
good, Don.
Southside Pipe Fitter.
There you go. 597.
Well, you know a thing or two, Don.
All the boys are proud of you, Don. 597.
Say hi to the pipe fitters for us, all of them. Oh, that's good. Cox Swain. Thank you very much. Swain. Now we know.
I'm sorry.
I do apologize.
Maybe I was thinking another genre.
I guess I thought you were right. I always thought that's what it was called. Rob's in Hillside.
That individual's more prevalent.
What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
How are you, Rob?
I just like to make my prediction for the Super Bowl. I think the 49ers are going to win with the field goal because Robbie Gould, he was kicking those 54-yarders like nothing last night.
Got
it. I see the 49ers winning by a field goal.
All right. And he's got Robbie Gould.
You got Robbie Gould.
He's got Robbie Gould with the key field goal at the end of the game.
Would you be happy for Robbie?
I would. Absolutely.
I would be.
Why wouldn't you be happy
for him? I would be happy for him.
I'd be happy for every one of those individuals, A, that gets to participate in a Super Bowl game.
Yeah.
And I'll be happy for the individuals that win. I won't be unhappy for the losers.
No, I don't.
Most of them will get another crack next year to try to get back.
It's not like it's a team that I despise in this spot. No. I hope Andy Reid gets his. I like Andy. I'd like to see him win. I think he's probably the best coach right now that doesn't have one. Wouldn't you agree, Yerk?
I'd say yes.
You know, so I'd be happy for Andy. That's what I want to have happen, but if the Niners win, I'll be happy for Freddie Huebner if the Niners win. Freddie loves the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, he does.
That's his team.
He'd be jumping for joy.
And I'd be very happy for Freddie. He's got to be excited and ecstatic that this is happening. So, yeah, I don't have any deep-rooted hatred. I mean, I didn't like the Niners all that much in the 80s. They were beating the Bears. Remember the 89 NFC title game, York? But, you know.
How does our guy Dave Tobe get beat?
I don't know.
How does Dave Tobe get beat like with a fake punt?
What did they do there, York? Were they not ready for
that? Personal protector just went up right through the middle and caught the ball.
So were they caught off guard? Didn't they have to know that the Titans would be going for it in that spot? That-
you would think that you would know. Dave Tobe was livid.
He was pretty upset.
Came on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I'd have gone safe punt there.
That's what Waddle was saying away on Twitter, I think. Yeah, he just said it in our text chain. He said, why would they not safe punt there?
That's it.
Explain what that means.
Safe punt is you keep your defense out on the field. Nobody rushes. You got the big guys on in case they want to do something crazy. Your safety might be back, but it doesn't make a difference. The return's not important.
Okay. You've got your defense on the field because
You're anticipating them faking it, and that's a deterrent.
It sure
that would tell them, okay, let's not do it. Linebackers are on the field. Safeties are on the field. Corners are on the field. Let's not do it. Let's punt it away.
It sure seemed like they were going to fake there.
And it's a one-thing call. You know, they could say rabbit, 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 and rabbit means snap the ball where the fake is off.
Was Vrabel – were you surprised Vrabel trusted a fake more than his offense in that spot? Or, like –
no, maybe
if he sees safe punt, is he caught timeout?
Maybe they looked at it and they saw that they had a tendency to do something specific on their punts.
Yeah.
And it's only good out of that punt look. And it obviously worked. So they saw something where they were just forgetting one guy. You know, the guy's supposed to watch him, but when the ball snap, if he kind of clears the fake through his mind, then he goes and does his second responsibility.
All right.
And he was wrong.
Your chance to win a $100 gift card in 4 minutes.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour of the show with Carmen and Yurko is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Get your fan four-pack, including 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, and popcorn for one low price. Fan four-pack started only $18 a ticket. It's a great bargain. Go to ChicagoWolves.com. Robert's in South Bend on ESPN 1000. What's up, Robert?
It's going good, guys. How are you doing?
Great.
Excellent. Okay, I was going to say that if the Bears, even with Mitch, if they had Juju Smith-Schuster and George Kittle, could they have gone as far this year in the playoffs as the Packers did?
Good question. Those are good players. I mean, with Kittle, I think that makes a huge difference. I still don't know if I trust the quarterback entirely. Would the Bears be a playoff team if they had Juju and Kittle? Part of the same draft class.
If they had a great tight end,
I think that helps them. Yeah, maybe.
That helps them. And do I think they still need an upgrade at 2 and 3 receiver? I believe they do.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little worried about Anthony Miller's health.
And Taylor Gabriel not being able to play, obviously that limits you in a way.
Yeah, they got
to
address that.
What are the kids from Georgia? What are Wims and what's Riley?
I like Wims. I always
Ridley,
have
Ridley. Riley Ridley.
Riley Ridley, yep. I like Wims. He's a good athlete. He's got good size.
He's
got to
break out, though.
I know.
And we got to break out. I don't know what it takes.
I mean,
maybe they don't have the quarterback here to bring it out of them. I don't know.
Now, Wims only played. He played in all 16. He was active. He started 6 games. You know, 186 yards on 18 catches, 1 touchdown.
So, yeah, I mean,
you are waiting to break
you're
out.
Victimized by the horizontal passing game.
Absolutely.
There. That's the one thing you are.
Yeah, you're only averaging 10 yards a catch. Yeah, terrible. Wide receiver like that with that size, averaging 10 yards a catch. Throw the ball down the field for crying out loud. We need a Joe's winner. Who is our Joe's Stone Crab primetime player of the weekend? Caller 10, you get the first crack at that. 312-332-3776. That's for the $100 gift card to go dine at Joe's, and we'll have another gift card to give away when we are back next Monday. Oh, you know who I saw this weekend, by the way? Pauly Cheesecake. He sends his love.
Wonderful.
Saw him at the charity event in Berwyn on Saturday night. Paulie's holidays were good. He also wanted me to tell you, Yurko, he's down, I think he said, 35 pounds.
Again, boy,
following
that guy's
your lead.
That poor man's got the yo-yo going.
Yeah, he ping-pongs back and forth a little bit there. But he's looking good, Pauly. Yes.
Is his vertical getting up there? I remember you couldn't put the City of Bolingbrook telephone book below his feet.
Yeah, about 3 inches.
His toes. He couldn't clear the phone book. So hopefully he's back up there now.
Make sure you follow the show and the station on Instagram, at Carmen and Yurko for Instagram. And the station is at ESPN_Chicago. Tomorrow for our Instagram video, I think we're going to do a little play action pass. Since we had a call earlier that said, man, is anybody better at play action right now than Jimmy Garoppolo? I feel like I need to pay closer attention. I want to look at some of Jimmy G's tape and see just how good he is at the play action. But it's an art. And I will tell you that watching Peyton Manning for a lot of years, I mimicked Peyton. I have mastered the play action, and I'm going to wow you with it.
Well, I can't wait
with
to
a
be
demonstration
wowed,
tomorrow.
Here we go. Tommy, I want Tommy film.
You want Waddle
to, I want Waddle to film this.
Do you want him to be the receiver?
Yeah, I want you to be the receiver, but I need somebody to film it because his hands are going right under my Infinity Stones.
They're going right there.
Yeah.
I love how you're calling them your Infinity Stones. I've never heard
exactly.
That before.
Well, Pat Thomasulo created that.
Oh,
Pat
he
Thomasulo,
did?
Yeah. The fantastic. The comedy out of Pat Thomasulo. If you've never had a chance to sit and witness it.
Okay, oh, he's funny. I love
you're
Pat.
You're missing out. You're missing out. That man is a funny man.
He's witty. He's funny. He's quick. I like Pat.
That Channel 9 crew,
yeah,
they do a good job.
Bill Siebold of West Chicago knew that Patrick Kane was the Joe Stonecrab Primetime Player of the Weekend. He wins.
He's a winner.
The gift card. Kaner hits 1,000 for his career. The third period assist to Brandon Saad. Welcome back, Brandon Saad. He had a nice weekend. Kubalik's in the Rookie of the Year conversation. And the Blackhawks are trying to make a charge to the playoffs. They had a terrible stretch, kind of like last year, that almost buried them. They were last or second to last in the conference for a while. And now they're trying to make up all this ground. We'll see if they can pull it off.
Well,
I'd love to see this team back in the playoffs. My God.
I mean, I never want to say that Brent Seabrook was a distraction, but it seems that since Brent Seabrook has decided that he should go get healthy,
yeah,
and not try to play with all the physical calamities that he had, and that little drama has kind of been out of the locker room, that they've had a tendency to find a way to focus and play some better hockey.
Remember after the Nashville game a couple weeks ago, they were booed off the ice after the first period? And we had asked the question, like, are they listening to Culleton? Is the message getting through at all? I mean, it looks like he's reined them in, which is good, because since then they've been good.
I think Boston comes to town. I've got two tickets to Paradise
game,
for that
baby.
One.
Isn't Q coming to town soon? I believe tomorrow night.
Tomorrow. I think you might. Okay, you got tickets for that one?
I don't, and I can't go tomorrow either.
Why not?
Can't my wife's got some work stuff this week, and she's going to be gone.
Call the sitters, Carm. Let's go. You and me, man. Singles night.
I'd love to see. I mean, that's going to be
a
hard one.
Why don't you leave your kids with Yurko's boys?
Nico and Jake would be more than happy to stop up. They're only going to charge you $20 an hour apiece.
$20 an hour.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
The money you got. Don't worry about it.
Do we really think they'd drive up and watch the kids?
Sure they would. For you, Carm, they would.
Are you crazy to leave your kids?
They want to know if they could have access to the bourbon areas.
Of course they could.
Okay, that's it.
I mean, you know, within reason, be safe. Of course, yes. I had some guys over Friday. We tasted a bunch of bourbon.
What if I were to tell you they would bring some of their own floral product?
No, absolutely not.
They're
not
flower?
In my home, no.
Their flower?
I'm an old fuddy-duddy that way.
Yeah. Not flower? Anywhere near Carmen. I've experienced that before.
Yeah, flower?
I don't.
What they call it? The kids?
The flower.
No, I don't. But not in my house, no. I've got young kids in that house. No, I don't want any of that. But they're more than welcome to hit the bourbon.
Hit the bourbon?
Absolutely.
All right, I just make sure it's clean. I mean, that's
can you imagine if I tell Karen that I'm going to the game with Yurko and that
the two boys
are, watching the kids?
Are you kidding me? They're great communicators.
Yeah. I'd love to see Q come back. I mean, there's going to be a big to-do tomorrow, I would think, right?
Oh, you would think there's going to have to be a video.
Oh, come on. You have to.
Have to have a video. You know that. There's going to be a big salute.
Yeah.
And then hopefully you find a way to beat his brains in on the ice.
I would like that, too. They got off to a good start this year, but they've kind of fallen back.
Do you think there's a little extra pep in the step there because they're playing for the former coach?
Maybe.
You know, that they, you know.
Does Q get a banner? Like Phil Jackson does?
Banners for coaches to me are weird. I mean,
is a little weird.
And I get it. Phil was part of
Plus, you
got to
save it for Bowman. I think he wants one for himself.
I don't think so. Phil, like, the Bulls dynasty is arguably one of the greatest ever in sports history and maybe the most significant in NBA history because of what it meant to the popularity of the league. The Blackhawks dynasty was pretty awesome, though. I mean, to do what they did in an era where it's like become damn near impossible to win back-to-back in hockey. Yeah, you went 20 years between teams doing that. The Red Wings in the late 90s to the Pens a few years ago. I don't know. I mean, like, to me, they're kind of strange to have coaches' banners hanging. Maybe a bust somewhere. I mean, they love putting those statues up. Hey, do you put a bust to Q somewhere on the concourse? I could see that. Pay a little tribute to Q that way, you know?
I'm thinking more like a Han Solo thing coming out of a wall.
Coming out of carbonite?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? A Han Solo thing on a wall.
Big smile
coming
mustache.
Out. Yeah, big mustache. You know, one of those where he's, who was one at Torch? When he's hitting Torchetti on the back or something, you know? A little celebration. Who was the other little guy, Mike?
Oh, there was Jamie Compan. There was Mike Kitchen. There was John Torchetti.
Kitchen. Him and Kitchen were pals.
They had a lot of guys over the years. But I would think that a very impressive and worthwhile tribute is going to come Q's way tomorrow night when the Panthers come to town. It'll be the first time he's coaching back here in the United Center against his former team. So that would be a fun game to get to. And when's Boston coming to town? You're going to that game?
I think February 5th.
Oh, you got a couple weeks?
All yeah, a right, couple nice. Weeks there, Carm.
That Boston team might be the best.
Boy, I'm telling you. That Marshawn's a real pain in the
ass.
Yeah,
I hate him, but he's great, man.
I hate that, though. He's ducking out of checks.
I hate him.
I'm telling you, they're gonna hurt him the way they went after Kachuk's kid.
I feel like I'm a little too old at this point in my life to really, like, you know, that's something as a kid, you hate a player. Like, I'm too old for that,
yeah.
But I hate him.
Yes.
He's
hateable.
He's dirty.
Yeah, I don't like
him. But he's also so good.
Yeah. Well, you appreciate...
I hate him.
His efficiency and the way he plays, his high level of play on the
ice. He's dangerous.
He's a dirty player.
He's a dirty player. He'll slew foot you with Duncan. He'll slew foot his mother on the ice. Oh. He's terrible.
There's a term I've got for you that's not arable, but I'll tell you exactly what he is during the break.
Terrible. I really
share it with the audience then maybe after that if you find that it's good enough. But yeah, Duncan Keith got hit in the face with a puck.
Yeah.
If Marshawn got hit in the face with a puck and only lost about 20 chicklets, I wouldn't shed one tear over it.
I don't know that I loathe a player in professional sports more than him. He's terrible.
He's loathable. He is definitely number one on the loathable list.
Yeah, then people might be like, what are you guys talking about? Just put on some video.
Number two, Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, well, he redeems himself a little bit with some of the movie appearances.
Old Unalmond.
Google Brad Marchand, and you'll see why we're talking about him this way. It's just...
I had a Google slewfoot.
Oh, the word dangerous.
Yeah, it's very
dangerous. Chris Bleck's dad will know. Chris Bleck's dad played in college.
You come up from the back, and you put an elbow in the front, and you flip a guy down.
And you get the foot underneath him, and it's the
very
worst.
Dangerous
it's extremely dangerous, and he'd do it to his mother on the ice.
Wasn't that the issue in Youngblood, too?
Yeah,
wasn't there some slew footing action there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Patrick
Swayze.
Swayze's character, the old slew foot there, kids.
It's just he's deplorable, but he's damn good. That's what makes
Let's not use that. That's a political term. Let's not use that.
Deplorable is a political term?
Remember that? 2016?
I don't remember. Slew foot. Speaking of political, Larry David rang in the new year of Curb with a bang last night. And if you haven't seen it...
I'm going to have to watch it.
Oh, you guys are... I mean, it is classic Larry David. They came out guns a-blazing, and it is fantastic. So you will enjoy... And it was a long episode. It was more than just 30
minutes.
4 hours? No, not 4 hours. It was like... I felt it was like a good 40 minutes or so last night. It was terrific. Welcome back, Curb, your enthusiasm for another season.
Hey... Your Parasite won the Screen Actors Guild.
It's
best movie.
I think the best movie of the year.
Okay.
And I know it's subtitled and you got to read it, but folks, you will not be disappointed. Black, tell everybody.
Yeah, it's great.
It's terrific.
Unless you really do some reading on what it's about, I was surprised at the twists and turns that it took. It was awesome.
It's wonderfully done.
Somebody sent me the Han Solo coming out of the wall. Guy Mickey said
that's for Q.
That's I think Q would be perfect like that.
Coming up in 2 minutes, we cross talk with Waddle and Sylvie.